The Alex Goldstein Property Show. Stray FM.
Welcome to the Alex Goldstein Property Show. I'm Alex Goldstein of Alex Goldstein Property Consultant in Harrogate, and this is the brand new, fast-paced property show aimed at giving you the latest insider tips, tricks, and industry expert advice so you can make the best informed decision when it comes to buying or selling your home. If you have an interest in the local or national property market and the associated professions within the sector, then this is the show for you. Whether you're a first-time buyer, experienced developer, or have an established property portfolio, I guarantee there is something in it for you. I will be speaking with and getting the insider knowledge from some of the most successful property-related businesses and professionals that Yorkshire and indeed the UK has to offer, ranging from regional solicitors all the way through to some of the UK's top multinational firms. We are available for podcast download on the first day of every month, so make sure you sign up to the Alex Goldstein and Stray FM Twitter and social media accounts to get an early reminder of this and to get great property tips whenever you need. In this month's show, we will be getting the inside track from the current owner of the very impressive Hellifield Peel Castle near Skipton. This was built by one of the last Templar Knights, and just to give you an idea of the calibre of this property, was featured very heavily on Kevin MacLeod's Grand Designs television programme. We will be also getting to grips with property photography as part of our property hospital section, plus we will also be putting Andrew Kempston Parks, Harrogate-based chartered surveyor, in the property hot seat to get a glimpse into his world. We also have the Alex Goldstein top tips. But before all of that, we go straight into the property news.
Property news with Alex Goldstein.
Stray FM.
This month's big news is the new stamp duty regulations affecting second home property purchases in the UK. Now, this was tipped off in the winter budget by George Osborne and came into effect last night, the 31st of March. Now, what this means is there is a 3% surcharge on the overall purchase price for any additional property that is purchased. This is paid on top of the regular stamp duty. So what this means now is that any additional property purchase, say for example at 400,000, you would now have to pay £22,000 in stamp duty, and this is versus £10,000 before these new rules came in. Now, the media and a lot of people would say, well, this is great news. It's an additional tax for the wealthier individuals and investors that can afford it. Plus, of course, it's an easy income generator for the Exchequer. However, I just argue whether this is all good news. And whilst it's too early to tell, my thoughts are that by effectively putting an immediate squeeze on the buy-to-let investment market, the Chancellor could run the high risk of instantly cutting off the supply of rental properties to tenants. If there's a lack of supply, demand's going to go up. And if that's the case, rental figures per month for tenants are going to increase. Now, if that happens, tenants are going to be paying more for their rental, so how are you going to save to buy your first home? And I appreciate the Chancellor's now introduced the lifetime ISA. He's increased the ISA budget in terms of your annual limit. However, leftover money at the end of each month, you may not have because you've got higher rental. Are we actually solving the house ownership problem? The other flip side of the coin, of course, has been from investors, and they've had a panicked buying frenzy since January, trying to exchange on properties prior to the deadline, the 31st of March. In turn, this has actually caused a price spike in certain parts of the country, especially in London. And now that we're well into April, I think you're going to see house prices in these areas start to come down again. As an investor, you should always look at the bigger picture. Do the opposite to the market. Don't panic and wait to see what happens. And do bear in mind, the 3% stamp duty surcharge, it's a one-off payment. Compare this to the capital increase on your property value over the course of the year and the course of your ownership, and you'll probably find that it's not so bad after all. Very excited indeed to welcome Francis Shaw, who is the current owner of Hellifield Peel Castle near Skipton, onto our Inside Knowledge section. Francis, thank you so much for coming here. Just to give people an insight into Hellifield Peel, just give us an idea of the history of the property, because it's absolutely fantastic.
Thanks, Alex. Yes, Hallifield Peel is the only Knights Templar castle in the country, and it dates from around about the 14th century. It's obviously had a very checkered history, been through civil wars, being attacked by marauding Scots on holiday after the Battle of Bannockburn, and it has been sadly was a ruin for many years, which is how we got involved in looking at it. I first saw it as a child on holiday up to Scotland before we emigrated to the Middle East, and it sort of burned a hole in my brain for many years. Even though I'm pushing 53, I'm actually only 7 in mental age, and obviously desperately wanted to live in a castle through most of my life, so it was a wonderful opportunity, and we moved up here to work and live in Yorkshire, and this was really just a great opportunity for me.
When does the castle actually date back to? It must be very...
Well, the castle itself was built in 1305, but actually it dates the earlier structures on the site that go back to the 7th century. So the first building was a Saxon hall, manor house, and then there was a tower built in the 12th century, which was built to fend off wolves, apparently. The locals complained to King Æthelstan that they were being eaten by wolves, but it took about 400 years before King John actually allowed it to be built. And there aren't any wolves left, so it obviously worked.
And this really has to be one of the most standout ancient monuments, really, of North Yorkshire. I don't know any other property that sort of dates back that far, surely, in the region.
There are a series of castles around, but certainly it's the only Knights Templar one, and it is, we believe, the longest lived-in site in Yorkshire. There are many claims, but this goes back to around about 650 AD, we believe.
Absolutely incredible. Incredible stuff. And obviously, I think everyone emulates to live in a castle, I think, at some point in their lives. But talk us through how do you get to grips with the planning and the planners on such a project? Because I know you mentioned it was sort of derelict, I think, when you first bought it. How do you start a project on that sort of scale?
Well, you need an awful lot of optimism, and also, as I say, if you have a mental age of 7, you don't tend to worry about the issues. The reality is the building was falling to bits and it was just about to collapse in its ears, and anybody who's seen the Grand Designs programme will realise that the wall that collapsed in the middle was as a result of how bad the building had got into. So we had there was a lot of goodwill and support. So the key issues with it is the Scheduled Ancient Monument, which is the granddaddy of all planning. It's basically, if you've got a grade listed system, which takes you from 2 2-star and 1 listed, and then basically above that is a Scheduled Ancient Monument, and it's quite an onerous task. Lots of drawings, surveys, all the information that's necessary to get it through. That's a legal requirement, so you can't circumvent that.
Yeah.
But English Heritage, who are now Heritage England, were very supportive through the process, and it took about just over 4 months to get it through planning and Scheduled Ancient Monument consent.
No, I think that's very good timing indeed, given that I think some people would experience much longer even just with a simple house extension at times. So I think you've done extremely well. And I know you mentioned sort of the Grand Designs television programme with, of course, Kevin MacLeod. What an incredible opportunity to have him. What was it like having the television crew there? And I don't know what Kevin's like to, I suppose, work alongside as well.
Well, Kevin's a lovely guy. He's really into conservation. So this was a project that really caught his imagination. And he came to quite a few more of the visits than he would normally go to. Obviously, the Grand Designs process of filming is quite invasive. You have to be quite honest about, you know, expenses, costs and building times and programs. Some people find that quite a challenge, but we have a lovely record of it. So, you know, we've restored many houses over the years, and we've got some photographs in a box in the attic somewhere, whereas this, we've got a lovely record of our time with Grand Designs and watching the build evolve before our eyes.
The level of detail you've gone into, Francis, on the property is nothing short of extraordinary. It's absolutely incredible. And just to give people a sort of a descriptive sort of flavour of what Hallifield Peel currently sort of shows in terms of the accommodation, is there any way that you can sort of describe to people what the current accommodation post all the Grand Designs is?
Okay, well, the house itself is effectively about 7,200 square foot of accommodation over four floors, and it's sort of quite neatly contained around a rather lovely staircase. We have seven bedrooms, two sitting rooms, there's a dining room, a lovely farmhouse kitchen, and then a self-contained attic at the top, which is about 1,000 square foot, with a kitchen, its own bedroom, sitting room and bathroom, and a terrace which is south-facing, looking over the Dales. It works very nicely as a home, and obviously when we did the works, we sadly ran out of money, and we've been doing bed and breakfast for the last 7 or 8 years, and it's worked quite nicely because we hardly impact on guests coming, so it's spacious enough to house sort of five couples in there without you feeling them running into them all the time. So
absolutely, and I have to say I've been fortunate enough to go there. The views from the castle are just incredible, absolutely amazing. It's sort of sat in what, about 2 acres from memory as well?
Yes, that's right. It's sat in registered parkland, so it sits in the Dales on the outskirts of Hellifield in a valley, and you can look across and you can see into Lancashire, which may upset a few Yorkshire folks, but you can see the Witch's Hill, Pendle Hill, quite clearly on the horizon, which looks magnificent.
What was so impressive about it, and what's so rare nowadays, is that as you approach and you go through the gate, you're actually a high up, and you've got this tree-lined driveway sweeping down, as you said, Francis, into the valley, and you just look down on the castle, and you'd never know it was there. I mean, it really is quite something. Obviously, an amazing opportunity to be involved on the Grand Designs television programme. I dare say, with exposure such as that, there must have been a fantastic sort of spin-off opportunity for you.
Yes, the Grand Designs actually was wonderful because, as I've said, we ran out of money at the end of the project, so we had to really think of inventive ways of using the house. And we'd done B&B on a small scale at our last property, and this just took off like we could never imagine. But also it had a huge influence on me as an architect. I was approached by a lot of private clients to do properties for them, and I was able to set up my own business, which we have Shaw and Jagger in Harrogate, and we've been going now for 5 years.
Fantastic. So if you need a castle, you now know where to go.
That's right, yeah. Well, we've fortunately done several castles in the meantime.
How
so we've just finished one up in Scotland, Mingrey Castle, which is opposite Mull on the Highlands.
Oh, beautiful spot. I think you sort of mentioned you're looking at selling up as well. You're giving up the baby in the project. Any reason why?
Well, the main reason is a mixture of moving to close to my wife's family, but also I wanted to build a Roman villa for many years. So this is my opportunity to... You unfortunately have a very understanding wife, so...
and I think if Hellifield, quite honestly, I think if Hellifield Peel is anything to go by, I think everyone is going to be astonished to see what you do with that. So I think it's all to look forward to. Talk us through that. You're about to, and I think you are actually, on the open market at the moment.
Yes, that's right. We're on with Carter Jonas. Tony Wright at Carter Jonas is selling the property for us, and... we're very excited to have them on board with us. They're a great team.
So I think anyone listening, if you want to get an insight into Hellifield Peel, do look it up online. But one of the most impressive properties I think this region has to offer. And I can't thank you enough, Francis, for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it.
The Property Hospital, Stray FM.
In the Property Hospital, I aim to solve your property problems and woes. So do feel free to get in touch with me on Twitter. My handle is @AlexOGoldstein, or indeed drop me a line on email, alex@alexgoldstein.co.uk. We got a very interesting question from Tom this week, and one that is often come up against. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Hi, Alex. Just about to put my house on the market. I live just outside of Ilkley. Had an estate agent round. They've taken some photos. Not 100% sure that they do my house justice. Just wondering your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's something that's often come up against. And I feel that whenever you come to sell your property, the one really worthwhile investment is in professional photography. Now, of course, estate agents can be, and they're very often trained They've got good camera kit. However, it's worth spending a small amount of money just on someone that specialises in this. First impressions are absolutely paramount. After all, these guys have lighting kits, they've got wide-angled lenses, not the ones that distort properties and the dimensions of a room. It's about portraying. Remember, you're going from a 3D down to a 2D dimensional brochure. Again, photographers know how to get the best out of Photoshop, and it's about playing with lighting and colours. Do remember, the new upcoming area is elevated photography. So this is a camera on top of a telescopic pole, and the cameraman, the photographer, can wander around your gardens to get the best shot. Remember, if you are going for this, it's always best to have a slightly oblique angle, a very gentle angle coming down on the property. If you've got land or outbuildings, or it's quite a difficult shot to take from the ground, what you don't want is something way up high and you're doing a sort of a bird's eye view down. The other angle is, of course, drone photography. The photographer does have to now have a special license, but it really is incredible what you can do, whether it's still images with a drone or indeed you can do the full video virtual tour, starting from outside and flying down and then actually walking through the house. So do get your photography absolutely bang on right. You will stand right ahead of the competition in the market and your sale will just go that much more further. And I hope that's of use to you.
The Property Hot Seat. Stray FM. Name.
Andrew Kempston Parks.
Business.
Kempston Parks, Chartered Surveyors.
Time in property.
I've been a chartered surveyor since 1999, became professionally qualified in 1997, and I've been working in the property industry for over 25 years.
Andrew, thank you for being in the hot seat today.
You're welcome.
Just to get straight into it, just talk through, because I think there's a lot of confusion about the different types of survey out there. Can you just sort of give us a quick summary of those types, please?
Certainly. At Kempston Parks Chartered Surveyors, we offer three levels of different inspection and report. Mortgage valuation, or open market valuation, normally used for a bank or building society, used to confirm value on the property, mainly for an institution's lending policy.
Yeah.
Can also be used for matrimonial, probate, inheritance tax, capital gains tax purposes. Then we have home buyer report, suitable for any property built after about 1880, 1890 of traditional construction and that hasn't been significantly altered or extended. And then building survey for properties that are older, perhaps grade two listed, non-traditional construction, or where there have been significant alterations or extensions.
And if you like, that's the Rolls-Royce version that is going through everything with a fine comb.
Absolutely, yes.
I've got you. Thank you. Why do you feel that people should come and why do you think they should use a surveyor in particular? Because I think that some people perceive that it could be a waste of money. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, the bank or building society, if you're obtaining a mortgage, will always send one of their panel valuers. The panel valuer will make a very cursory inspection of the property and is there simply for the lending institution's purposes. An independently commissioned survey on a property is there for your use. It will tell you all of the defects in the property, put those into context, and more importantly, give you an informed decision as to whether or not you should proceed with the purchase, or if you do proceed, if there needs to be some negotiation on price.
It's an interesting point because I think it can be a possible misconception from surveyors that a lot of homeowners get very anxious and on edge when the surveyor comes round. They always think that they are there to sort of mark the property down. How do you sort of answer that?
Well, I think you're right, Alex. I think there is this conception out there that some surveyors believe it's their God-given right to condemn the house that they're going to inspect, to put in some untruths perhaps, or to cover their backs. But at Kempston Park Surveyors, we're really here to help our clients to make sure that defects are pointed out, but they're put into context. So, for example, dampness. A lot of properties built prior to 1900 will have some dampness. Is that a significant problem? Well, that depends on the property and the type of house. So it's about giving advice to client and making sure the client is aware of the defects in the property.
And what are the broad range of costs? Because again, I think it's a possible misconception that people think it's sort of extraordinary cost, and I don't think it's necessarily the case, but I know you sort of ran through the different types of survey just to give people a general feel for things?
Well, if we were to take a property at around £500,000, so £500,000, a valuation on a property at that level would be £200 plus VAT. A home buyer survey would be £635, including VAT, and a building survey, £1,285, including VAT.
And are you finding that the middle option, your home buyer survey, that is probably the most used survey because it gives you just a general overview of the property, or do you find that people lean towards more the lower end survey? What are your experiences of it?
It's about the property, Alex. It isn't about the survey being right for the client, it's about the survey being right for the particular house.
Yeah.
So if I go and look online when a client approaches me, and I've got a property that was built in 1840, is perhaps grade 2 listed, and has been significantly altered and extended, then my professional advice to client will be a building survey, because that's the right level of inspection and report for that house.
Just clear up, because again, I suppose it comes around sort of estate agents phrasing. Very often they sort of say, well, the survey's happening today, the valuation's taking place today. And I think a lot of homeowners gloss over that, and I think they possibly need to ask the right sort of questions. Just clarify for the listeners, when an agent sort of says it's a valuation, it's a survey, what are they actually meaning, and what should a homeowner actually then ask back to the agent?
Okay, well, if your estate agent says to you, the surveyor's coming, I would always ask the pertinent question, are they carrying out the mortgage valuation for the Bank or Building Society? Or is it an independent survey that's being done? That's a very important question. Sometimes you may get two surveyors, one who comes from the lender, the other who commissions a privately instructed survey for you.
And if you're a homeowner, is there anything that you should do in advance of the building survey taking place to make sure it just goes that much more smoothly? Is there anything that you'd want in terms of sort of insider tips here for the listeners?
The important thing is to let the surveyor get on with their job.
Yeah.
I often say to people when I arrive at their house, please carry on with your day, pretend I'm not here. Some things that are very useful for me in making the job go smoothly are clear access into the roof void, very important that I can get my ladders up to have a good inspection of the roof. If there are any internal doors or windows that are locked, that those are unlocked. And if there are any outbuildings, that those are open and available for me to inspect. So those sort of things make my day go easier. Always important that the kettle's on at some point in time, though, Alex.
Absolutely. And I suppose on that point, we have to ask, because it occurs so much. But embarrassing stories, you must have come across quite a few in your years of experience. You're going around properties the whole time. If you've got anything to share at all?
I think the one that sticks out most in my mind was a number of years ago in one of the sort of satellite towns around Leeds. I'd collected the keys from the estate agent. It was a mid-terraced house, and always I start at the top floor with my inspection. So it was a nice spring day, and I sort of bounded up the stairs, flung open the door, obviously expecting the property to be empty. The naked lady sat up in bed, screamed very loudly as I turned the light on. So I turned my back and very embarrassedly shouted, I'm the surveyor, I'm going to the kitchen, where I waited for her.
And that's why you always need to check when your surveyor is coming round.
Absolutely.
Andrew, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And if anyone needs to get hold of you, what are the best details for you?
Best way to contact us is obviously on the phone, Harrogate 789 111. Website kempston-parks.co.uk, or if you just search for Chartered Surveyor Harrogate, we'll be one of the top links.
That is fantastic. Thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Andrew. Alex Goldstein's top tip. This month, we are focusing on where the television personalities actually get it wrong. Now, for example, they all say, paint all your walls white, remove all your personal items, clear your rooms, and give it the blank canvas look. However, this isn't actually the right advice, believe it or not. Firstly, most importantly, it's very difficult to photograph a blank room, even, dare I say, with a professional photographer. Where are the features? There's nothing to look at, and if it's all painted white, it looks like a hospital. Now ask yourself, who likes going to hospital? Of course, the answer is absolutely nobody. So why would someone want to pay you to come and live in one? They don't. Now remember, a house purchase is one of the very rare emotional purchases in life. So people are buying into the lifestyle. So in other words, have the photographs of the family out, the magazine out, the dog roaming around by the fire. And as the other extreme, do not have clutter everywhere. It's more a case of having clean, clear, and smooth lines throughout the property. The golden rule is the more people feel at home, the better your sale will go. That's all from the Alex Goldstein Property Show. I hope you've enjoyed it. More details can be found on the website alexgoldstein.co.uk or thestrayfm.com. All the social media channels are all live, and the next episode is available for download on the 1st of May. In the meantime, I'm hosting an educational talk on the hidden world of estate agents at the Majestic Hotel. More details can be found on the website, or indeed drop me a line, alex@alexgoldstein.co.uk. Until next time.